Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a fantastic show planned for you tonight, and I certainly trust that all of you all that have been following us along will continue to stay with us tonight because this is a show that is very near and dear to my heart. So you will definitely want to tune into this show, and of course, we encourage you to press 1 to speak to the host. We're expecting a number of our not featured guests, but we're expecting a number of guests to appear on the air tonight, at least 3 or 4 that will be on the air with us tonight. And basically, they're just going to be giving their opinions about things. So please, 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 you will definitely want to tune in. And if you want to speak to the host, please, by all means, press 1 at any point in time. You know, I've had a number of people to say, well, I was listening and I wanted to say something. But if you don't press 1, we don't know that you're lined up in that queue. So that becomes, that becomes very, very important to line up in that queue so that we can get your comments. So please, please, please stay tuned. Tonight's topic is, what's the point to anything? What's the point to anything? And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. But first, we're going to go ahead and take this opportunity to invite one of our special guests. These are not the featured guests, but they are special guests that will be participating on tonight's programming. And as a special guest, we're just asking you to give your first name if you want to do that or your professional name. We're going to go to 251-599. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Who do we have with us this evening? And welcome.
Hi, this is Donna Bates from Prattville, Alabama.
Okay, Donna, thank you for joining us. Donna, it's so happy to have you on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're one of our special guests. And again, tonight's topic is, what's the point to anything? So we're going to ask you to stand by, Donna, and
okay.
So we can start to welcome some of our other guests. All right, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. If you do want to speak to the host at any point in time, you want to make a comment, press 1 on your dial so that we'll know that you're in. And as soon as, if you know that you're one of the special guests that's coming in, we're going to ask that you go ahead and press 1 at this time so that we can bring you in. You give us your first name or your professional name, and so that we can go ahead with that. All right, we're going to bring one of our other feature, special guests, that is, in tonight. We're going to go to 256-970. Good evening. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Welcome. Who do we have with us this evening?
Oh, this is Sean from Huntsville.
Oh, Sean from Huntsville. Thank you so very much for joining us. Sean, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second because we have several other of our special guests that will be joining us momentarily. So we're going to ask you to stand by, please. All right, once again, tonight's topic is, what's the point to anything? If you're one of our special guests, we're going to ask you to press 1 so that we'll know that you're on in queue, you're online to come in. We're expecting 3 or 4 of our special guests, that is. I want to say featured guests, but when we have featured guests, it's usually That's one individual that's coming on. But tonight we decided to do it a little differently, and we're having several people to come in because this topic is going to be so hot. We're actually going to do a part two to it, which will mean we will probably continue with this next week or the following week because it's going to be a hot topic. So tonight we're given several scenarios on what's the point to anything. Now let me go ahead and take a moment and I'll reiterate this again later. What's the point to anything basically deals with, you know, people go through struggles in life, all of us. The one thing about life is life does not discriminate. Life does not discriminate against anybody. There are people who might discriminate against others in various ways. But life itself, the nature of the universe, it does not discriminate. We live, we die, we breathe, we work, we play. But at the end of the day, we're all going to go and experience a sunset. So it's how we enjoy the time that we're on the planet. But this show is not necessarily, tonight's topic is not one to be perceived as a negative when we say, what's the point to anything? Tonight's topic is not to be perceived as a negative. Instead, it's just putting a thought-provocative question out there in terms of what's the point to anything. Like you have some people who go to school, they get all the education, you know, whether it's a master's, bachelor's, doctorate, or skill or a trade, and they still for some reason can't find a job. So then they wonder, what's the point? What's the point? What drives some people? And that's what I want to be able to bring out of you all tonight. So if you are one of our special guests, please press 1 so that we can bring you in, so we can have everybody pretty much in around the same time. If you are one of our special guests, you know, we're going to need you to come on in. Let me go ahead and bring in another special guest. We're going to go to 863-236. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have on the line with us this evening? And welcome.
This is Diana Booker. Thank you.
Diana, thank you for being with us. And we're going to ask you to stand by just for a moment so we can bring in one of our other special guests that's with us this evening as well. We're going to go to 305-733. Thank you. You're on the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have? And welcome.
Hi, this is Stephanie.
Stephanie, thank you for joining us so very much, Stephanie. It's a pleasure to have all of you all. So we're going to ask you to stand by, and we're going to be in about 1 minute. We're going to read our first scenario. And again, I say to you all, the show tonight's topic is not intended to be a negative. It's not intended to do that. It's intended to put a thought-provoking question out there so that some of you all, because so many people are going through so many different things, someone out there may have an answer that I don't necessarily have. So that's what we want to be able to do. Let me bring in another one of our special guests. We're going to go to 786-444. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have on with us?
Pat, it's Patricia Segre.
Okay, Pat Patricia Segre. Okay, thank you for joining us. We're going to ask you to stand by momentarily as we just reiterate, and we're going to go moment in just about a second or two. We're going to go to our story, our first scenario for tonight. Tonight's going to go real fast. Tonight's going to go very fast. So we're going to ask you all to stay with us. And when we call upon you, we're going to ask you if you would confine your responses strictly to the question at hand and, you know, within 15 seconds. If you can do that within 15 seconds, we would appreciate it. If you're another one of our special guests tonight, and you're just joining us, please press 1 at this time so we can bring you in and get started. Tonight's topic is, what's the point to anything? If you're one of our special guests to be on the air tonight, press 1 at this time so we can bring you in and get started. Now, when you do come in, identify your name, and then if I call upon you, please be, if you'd be so kind, to be ready to do that. Let's go ahead and bring another special guest. We're going to go to 850-212. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. Who do we have with us? And welcome.
Mike Lowry.
I'm sorry, what's your name, sir?
Mike Lowry.
Okay, Mike. Okay, Mike, thank you so very much for joining us. We're going to ask you to stand by, Mike, just a second, and let's bring in another special guest. We're going to go to 305-684. Who do we have with us this evening, and welcome?
This is Tim, Dr. Walker.
Okay, Tim, thank you for joining us. We're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go to our first scenario this evening, and let's do that now. All right, producers are telling me we can go to the first scenario. So we're going to ask all of you all to please listen carefully as we go to that. All right, the first one is scenario number one, Carl and Mary. Carl and Mary have been married for 11 years. They have two children ages 7 and 10. Carl has been having an affair with a coworker for the past 3 years who recently gave birth to a baby boy for Carl. Mary and Carl have been having marital problems for more than 6 years. Yet she has remained faithful to him and hopes that their marriage could work out. Mary knows about the affair but has been praying that Carl would have a change of heart. Now that the other woman has had the baby, Mary is devastated but still hopeful. Carl insists he only stays in the marriage because of his children. Mary is extremely depressed and wonders now at this point, what's the point to staying in this marriage with a man who obviously does not love me, she says. Her religion is totally against divorce. Carl doesn't really care. What, if anything, could you say to this couple or to either of them? And let's start this evening by simply going, let me start with Donna, and I believe it's a part of Montgomery, Alabama. Let me go to Donna in Montgomery, Alabama. Donna, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay,
hello, can
Donna.
You hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you, John. Donna, let's take you first. Donna, what do you think about this situation? Here it is. Her church is against divorce. This man has gone out. He's had a baby on her with another woman that she knows about, but she's still hopeful. I mean, but now she's wondering, because she's depressed, what's the point? What's the point of staying here?
Right, and this is such a common thing that happens in our society. I mean, over 300 million people in the United States, and just if you look in a classroom, most of them have mixed homes, and that's just the way society has become, and it's become accepted. And so I feel like, you know, people have their beliefs, but sometimes I feel like she should let them go, but, you know, that's a hard one.
All right, let's go to Mike Lowry. Mike, let me ask you, stand by for me, Donna, if you would. Mike Lowry, what are your thoughts on this? I mean, he could go out and have two more babies in it. What she could do? Does he just stay in there? What is the point?
I don't think it's a point, to be honest with you. I guess if she loves him, I don't know. I mean, with society today, I mean, there's so much of that going on. You know, I guess it's up to that individual. If she loves the guy, I mean, you know, she's going to stay with him regardless of what anybody thinks. It's just one of the things where, you know, it's very heartbreaking to know that you know, it happened on the outside, but, you know, nobody has an answer but that individual that's involved.
Okay. All right. Now I'm going to ask you to stand by just for a second. Patricia, let's go to you.
Yeah.
And Patricia, what are your thoughts? I mean, come on, really.
Well, I wanted to say that she needs to realize how much she is valued. If she values herself, then she has to think about what is it that she's going to do with herself. The guy already has someone else out there. He doesn't care much about her. But now she has two children, and she needs to focus on herself and those two children. She has to have the self-esteem to know that she can move on. And that's the thing that she needs to focus on, herself and the children.
Okay, now we're starting to – that seems to make sense to me, because, you know, after a while you begin to ask yourself, what's love got to do with it? Let's go to Sean. Sean, what are your thoughts on something like this here? I mean, Donald said this happens also common. What are your thoughts?
You know, honestly, I think it's something that she needs to present to the husband as, listen, I want a good image, you know, father figure to my children. And, you know, she may have to play kind of like hardball a little bit and say, you know, I'm going to let the kids know what you're doing. And the reason why I'm saying that is because we try to kind of shelter our kids when, you know, these kids are wiser. These millennials are smarter than we think they are. And you know, you can only shelter so much to the point to where, you know, they're going to find out eventually. So a lot of men get to play around because, you know, the situation allows them to. But when their kids are like, Daddy, stop cheating on Mommy, you know, that may make them think twice or so.
Okay, that's interesting. Let's go to Diana. Diana, what are your thoughts? I mean, her religion forbids divorce. But, I mean, is she supposed to be a fool? What's the point?
Well, I mean, religion doesn't totally forbid divorce. It does discourage it, but it does give you the option to divorce on grounds of adultery, which obviously she does have. But so there has to be other factors that she needs to take into consideration if she doesn't want to pursue it, because it does say if you can work it out, then work it out. God would prefer, even if adultery is in place, that you still try to work it out. When someone is just going to continue to have the same mistake occur over and over again, then there's so many other things that she needs to take into consideration. We don't know in the scenario if she is financially able to have a life without him. He might be the only sole supporter for her and the children, and to divorce him, she might wind up on welfare and in a worse situation. So there's so many other mitigating factors that we need to take into consideration. But at the end of the day, it's her that has to make that devoid of anybody else's opinion, because it's her that has to live in it. And yes, it is bad for her to raise children, for them to think that that is normal. But then again, if her belief is strong in God, then she will also instruct them about what the ways of righteousness is, and no, this is not acceptable, what you see taking place here.
Okay. All right. You know, Dan, we're going to ask you to stand by just for a second. And, you know, I want to throw my two cents in here. And, you know, the question becomes, what's the point to anything? What's the point to staying in a marriage where obviously the guy doesn't love her because he's demonstrating that? He's had a baby outside the marriage and so forth and so on. I mean, how long do you have to knock your head up against the wall to see this guy could bring you something, a sexually transmitted disease? While she's staying in there, and then some of you all have mentioned various things about, you know, we don't know her economic situation. I mean, what's more important? Now all of a sudden you contract AIDS from dealing with this guy, and now your kids are still young at home, and then your lifespan might be 7 to 10 years. You're still leaving him without a mother, you know, because you decided, because you love him, to stay in a relationship. Doesn't make any sense to me. We're going to bring Tim in, and then we're going to move on to the next scenario. Tim, give me your thoughts. What do you think? What's the point?
I want to know what makes you feel like he doesn't love her. He could still love his wife and still have an affair.
Well, he says he's only there because of the children. He only stays there
because he doesn't love her.
That could be the possibility, but also who knows if the wife did something that made him want to go out there and cheat. Women are only doing stuff to you that will make you want to go out there and see somebody else.
Okay.
Well, you know, excuse me.
Is this Mike Lowry? Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. Well, I think the longer, my thing is, from what I'm hearing, the longer she stay in it, she's going to be miserable. And then eventually what's going to happen is she's going to wind up, I guess, doing the same thing he did, because if that's what's going to, for the temporary, just for a temporary, just to make her feel good. So staying in the marriage is not the answer, but I just feel like it'll get even worse on both ends, because you're going to think about everything that he did. And a lot of cases, that's what most people do. They wind up doing something they regret.
Right.
So, but
right,
then
right.
I still think the wife is upset.
Okay, well, the story indicates that she's been remained faithful to him, but still,
right,
you
right.
know, people are doing. If you're listening, if you're just joining us, tonight's topic is what's the point to anything? And we're getting ready to go to scenario two. And this time we're going to, in scenario two, we're going to start with Stephanie. I believe that's the name, Stephanie, yes. Scenario two, Keisha, a 19-year-old recent high school graduate. This is Keisha. She's a 19-year-old recent high school graduate. She's trying desperately to get into the college of her dreams in New York City. Problem is, her mother does not want her to leave Georgia, the state of Georgia, because she fears her daughter will not be the same. Now Keisha is so depressed, she wonders, what's the point to living my life for my mother? Is Keisha being unappreciative towards her mother, Stephanie? I mean, come on. What's the point?
I don't think Keisha is being unappreciative. I think her mother is not being letting her go. I think Keisha is of age, and if she aspires to go to New York and go to school, I think her mother should be very supportive and should want her to go and become that independent woman that she aspires to be. So I don't think Keisha is really the problem. I think her mother not letting her go is more so the problem. I think her mom needs counseling. I think her mom needs to let go. I think her mom needs to accept the fact that her girl is growing up and that there's a big world out there, and Keisha wants to see it. And New York is to me, that place to go and experience letting go and becoming that adult.
Okay, so, should Keisha just defy what her mother wants and jump on a plane or a bus and go to that college in New York City and get out of the state of Georgia? That's what she wants?
Yeah, I don't think you look at it as defying her mother. I think you
okay.
look at you should more or less look at it, Dr. Walker, as Keisha getting ready to explore herself and live her and do what Keisha wants to do. So it's not so much defile. And who and Georgia? Georgia is one of those states that is considered like the South. So, you know, usually these young teenagers in this day and age, they want to get out and explore bigger cities, bigger states. I mean, states with much more to offer than, you know, than Georgia. So I don't think Keisha is doing anything wrong. I think her mother is not willing to let go. That's what I think.
I agree with that. We're going to ask you to stand by, Stephanie. Let's go to
sure.
let's bring in Sean here. Sean, give me your thoughts on this. Should Keisha, you know, and I selected a bad word, defy, but I tend to agree with Stephanie. I mean, it's her life. What do you think, Sean?
I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I was just talking to my son about, you know, it wasn't so far that I went through the same pitfalls and choices I made. So, you know, parents got to let go, and the child has to be able to say, you know what, there's a reason my parents are on me right now is only to produce the best me. And so children got to be mature enough to realize that parents only want the best for the children, the only them to be the best
absolutely.
Mentally happy. So it goes both ways. It's a happy medium. You know, parents have to realize, too, that these kids are smarter than they we were when we took them up as well, too. So maybe not wiser, but they definitely were smarter, though.
No, bring them.
Okay. All right. Let me switch over. We're going to ask you all of you to confine your comments to about 15 seconds or less. We'd appreciate it. We got another one of our special guests that are just now joining us. We're going to 305-648. Give us your name, sir, and welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show.
This is Tim. I've been here this whole time, Dr. Walker. Have you talked?
305-748-78.
Hello?
I want it.
Yes. 748-7808.
Yeah, this is Wayne.
Oh, Wayne. Okay, Wayne. Thank you for joining us, Wayne. Wayne, give us your thoughts on Keisha and her mother.
Doc, I thought you was talking about Brittany, my cousin in Atlanta. She was 18 when she left to go to college from Atlanta, and her mama didn't want her to go.
Okay.
She's a nice girl. She was had a hard time getting guys, and she went to Syracuse University. In her first year, she got turned out and had to come back home.
Ooh.
And when she came back home, her interest in education wasn't there anymore. And it took her 2 or 3 years to go back to college to get in school because she was a different girl when she came home. And I asked my aunt what happened. My aunt said she got out there experiencing all type of things with guys and drugs, and said that she should have held on to it, but she just wasn't ready to leave the nest at 18. Mm-hmm. Her mama tried to get her to go to Clark, but she wanted to experience leaving Atlanta. So the right answer to that, I don't think young ladies, it all depends on the mature level. And but I think that young lady shouldn't leave home at an early age as a freshman. I understand put them out there in the world, but some young ladies are they not mature enough to go out there by themselves, way to California or New York or New Jersey to start school. It's all depend on the maturity level.
Wow, wow. Well, I'm sorry that it happened to your own niece, but I can assure you I don't know her. So this happened to be one of our scenarios. We're going to actually stand by Wayne, and thank you so much. Let's jump in here. Donna, could parents possibly get it wrong?
They get it wrong all the time. I will say I like Wayne's point. However, each of us have to live our own lives for ourselves, because if Keisha ended up staying in Georgia, she would probably resent her mother, and then years later she would probably regret her decision. So I think you never know until you know. She's just got to go out there and live her own life for herself.
I tend to agree with that. Let me go to Diana. Diana, what do you think? What do you think? I mean, keep them in the nest?
No, you don't keep them in the nest, but I'm going to tell you what, it's a dangerous world out here. And I still feel that a parent's insight and wisdom is more valuable than a child who doesn't have that experience. And I really liked what Wayne had to say and what happened from experience with his niece. And that's why parents make certain decisions for their children, because they're really just not ready yet. Because they're ready to go on to college doesn't mean they're really ready to fly. And when a mistake occurs, where are they going to land? They're going to land back in the nest. And I feel that when they're financially able to be able to accept the consequences for the bad decisions they may make, then they can do as they choose to do without having to hear what thus saith mom or dad.
Right. Now, let me just throw this in and interject here. And Stephanie, we're going to come to you. And Tim, we want to come to you as well as Mike Lowry. Let me just throw this here. What happens to training the child and the way that they should go from early on and then trusting your child when they get out there? But if you plan to just keep them under your guard and you think that they're not going to rebel and go out there in the local community and do something.
Thank you.
I mean, there's no guarantees you have. Something will bring you in. Give me your thought.
I agree with you. I agree with what you just said, Dr. Walker, as well as what Wayne. Wayne, thank you for that scenario. And again, I'm sorry that happened to your niece. However, I'm thinking that if you really look at statistics, I think 60-70% of the students of the young people that go out, they usually do well. They come back. I mean, they don't always get it right always. But then when they fall on their own feet and they can't stand back up, even if they need to rely on their parents for a little here or there. But I don't think that the situation that happened to your niece is more common than the majority of the students, the young people that go out and do stand on their own feet. Because in that scenario, Wayne, forgive me, that scenario could have happened even if she stayed at home locally.
Absolutely.
Okay. Whether it was New York, whether it was California, whether it was Clark Atlantic, whether it was Florida Memorial, anywhere, that situation could have happened. And I agree with also the young lady that mentioned about the maturity level. Yes, a lot of our children aren't mature, but what's the first thing we hit them with? It's college. They're not mature, but we're still hitting them with, oh, they need to get a job, they need to go to school, but yet still we're not ready for them to go to another city or do another state and become independent, but yet still we're telling them, oh, they're not mature enough. Yeah, I guess it depends on the child, but I still say if they're ready to go, let them go.
Let them go. All right, let's bring Kelly in, and then we're going to bring in Mike Lowry, and then we're going to go with Patricia. Tim, give me your thoughts. I mean, do you keep them in the house forever, 30 years old, still in the mother's house or father's house?
No, you gotta go.
I believe in what Stephanie said. Yeah, you gotta let those kids get out there and see the world on their own so they can find their own way.
Okay. All right, Mike Lowry, let's bring you in. What do you think, Mike?
I think kids need to leave home to learn to adjust to the outside world. I mean, keeping them home is not gonna make a difference. We can say that as parents, but when we're their age and we want to get away, that's the first thing we did when we did get out there. We had to learn, and even though it's a evil world, you learn being out there, and you're gonna make mistakes, and you learn from your mistakes, so you become a lot stronger as you make mistakes to be able to deal with the outside world. So, you know, you give them a chance and let them go. I mean, because we can't protect them all the time. Even at home, you can't always protect them, because wherever they go, they're going to make mistakes, and we got to still hear about it. So I just agree with just letting them go.
Let them go. Patricia, let's bring you in, and then we're going to move on to the next scenario. Patricia, let's bring you in.
My thought is that I always encourage my students, my seniors, that when you are ready for college, if you get the opportunity to go away, take that advantage. But be sure that you are ready to go. Don't go and then expect to come back within a month or so because you can't handle it. Make sure that you are mentally prepared to go out there and meet all the struggles that's going to confront you. And as far as the mother's concerned, she's just acting as a mother. You know, she's a concerned parent, but she has to know that later she's going to have to let go.
Okay, all right, very good. We're going to get prepared now to go to the very next scenario.
Mr.
Walker,
start
this one.
Can I say one thing real quick? I just wanted to put this out there. I'm noticing now that just because I know how I was when I was 18, 19, that trust, you know, with your child. Your child has to trust that you have your best interest for them. I mean, and I'm noticing now that I'm trying not to become such a disciplinarian and be more of a trust gainer with my children, because you know, when they're little and they fall and they reach out for your hand and they grab it, you know, when they get older they feel like they can get up on their own. You know, but when they get older, they also know that the hand is always going to be there for them. And when there's scenarios that they're unfamiliar with or scared about or peer pressure or drugs or whatever, sex, whatever, if they trust you, they can come to you and talk to you before that. So I think the parents that are worried about holding their kids back is because they didn't establish a level of trust in the beginning with and that they can talk to the children and they can come back to them and be a resource. So I think that's just something that's important.
John, I'm glad that you mentioned that part, and while you did, I just want to give you all a little personal thought of mine. I have children, and I recall it was very hard, especially when you get to your daughter, sending them away to college. And I recall my youngest daughter having to go out of state to college, and I had hoped that she had been raised in such a way that I could earn her trust. I mean, this is just me, Matt, earn her trust. And my daughter assured me, "Dad, you can trust me." And in spite of people around me saying, "Oh, you're sending your daughter out of state and blah, 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 blah," I had that trust in my daughter that she would do the right thing. And I can tell you today, I'm not disappointed. I'm not at all disappointed. So I'm glad that you brought that out, that, you know, the issue of trust. And I said that earlier, it's how you raise them. And then at some point, you got to trust them. You got to trust. I want all my kids out of the house, and I wanted them to live for themselves. And I knew that, you know what, you'll go crazy as a parent, to me now, this is just my humble opinion, crazy as a parent thinking, oh, what are they doing now? Excuse me, what are they going to be doing next week and so forth? No, I've trained you in such a way, your mom's trained you in such a way, you know what, live your life, because your decisions become your consequences. And listen, I'm not disappointed at all. We're going to ask you all to stand by just for a moment, and let me go to the next scenario. We're going to start this one off with Patricia. We're going to start this one off with Patricia. This is scenario 3. Michael's best friend has been seriously ill for the past 2 months, and he has been desperately praying for full recovery for his friend. Michael did everything he could to exercise his faith, but his friend still passed away. Michael is now distraught, thinking, what's the point in having faith anyway if this is what happens? Do you think the problem is how Michael may have been praying? Let's start out with, I think I said Patricia. Patricia, what do you think?
I don't think it's the way he's been trained.
No, praying, the way he's been praying.
Praying?
Yes, praying.
Well, first of all, Michael has to have that relationship with God for himself. And he has to be able to trust that God is in control. There are times when you're going to doubt yourself, but at the same time, you got to look deeper and realize that, you know, God knows what's best. He's going to go through all of those issues, but he cannot give up. And he has to continue praying, knowing that God is going to heal him.
His friend died. Pat, did you get it? His friend passed away.
Uh-huh.
And you're saying now he has to continue praying that God will heal him? I don't understand that.
His friend died. No, I didn't get that part. His friend passed away.
Yes.
His friend died. And he's not trusting God? He's losing faith in God?
Well, it sounds like that. Pat, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Let's go to Diana. Diana, what's going on here? I mean, Mike has been praying for his friend for 2 months, and he's been exercising his faith, and his friend still passed away. So now Mike wants to know, what's the point of having faith in the first place? He did all his praying. So how do you make sense out of that? What's the point?
I guess it's the maturity level of Mike and understanding God's word and how God is, how he is for us individually in our lives. I mean, the question sort of baffles me. Let me understand this a little bit better. So he's prayed, his friend dies, and so he's questioning God now?
He's questioning what's the point of having faith. He did all of that praying. He exercised his faith, but his friend still passed. Donna, we're going to ask you to stand by just a second. Let me go to Donna. Donna, what do you think? I mean, what's the point of having faith? I mean, his friend still passed away.
Hi. Can you all hear me? Hello?
Yeah.
Hi.
Donna? Go ahead.
You know, in the Bible they talk about God's will be done, and that was God's will that this friend pass away. And a lot of this is a mystery to us. We don't understand why some things happen, and we just have to accept it and agree with it and move on with our lives. And that's, to me, that in a nutshell, that's what it is.
All right, we're going to actually stand by. Let's bring Wayne in. Then we want to bring Tim. We're going to bring Tim in. Go ahead, Wayne. Give me your thoughts.
Well, my thing is like my belief that I was brought up to believe never question God's word, never question God's doing. I also pray for a loved one. I prayed night and day. And the loved one passed away, and I was questioning God why he didn't answer my prayer. And I almost, like the young lady said, I almost lost faith. But then I like the other person, like if you don't, you know, God move in mysterious ways. Maybe God did that I don't know. I mean, maybe he did that to teach this guy a lesson. You can't question God's will, you know, because everyone have a date when they're born and when they're going to die. We just don't know when. So I'll say you just can't question God's words. And you just got to stand on his belief that he did the right thing in taking his friend.
But Moses questioned God. Moses questioned God, and God used him. I mean, so I'm not understanding. So Wayne, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let me go to Mike Lowry and then to Tim. Mike, how do you expect it?
I feel the way the last two answers, last two people answered, because we can't question. We can pray. And leave the results up to God. We have no we have no final answer as to whether or not that person's going to live or die. We can only pray. And what that person did is not to sit there and question God about whether whether the loss of his friend, by him praying the loss of his friend, whether or not he did the right thing or not, or he was strong enough in his prayer. We can't question God on that. We just have to pray and then leave it in the hands of God.
Okay, so Tim, then let me bring it to Tim. Tim, then what's the point to pray at all? If God's will is going to be done, then what's the point of praying at all? Okay, maybe we've lost Tim. Let's go one more time. Patricia, did you have anything else that you wanted to say? We're going to move to the next comment. Did you have anything else that you wanted to say?
I'm just saying that when you pray, you develop a stronger relationship. You're able to develop more faith. You don't know what that person would, you know, his sickness, whatever sickness he might have had, God allow him to live. He might not be the same person physically. You know, and then it's going to be even harder for you to look at him every day knowing that, oh, I pray for God to save his life, but this is how he turns out to be. You just have to let God do what he knows best.
That's a scenario.
Okay. All right. Did Stephanie want to come in on this one?
I'm sorry. I kind of missed it. I faded out. So let me hear a little bit more comments.
This one was the one where Mike had been praying 2 months for his friend, and his friend, his friend passed away anyway. And, you know, so the question that Mike is asking himself, what's the point of praying? You know, anyway, if God's will is going to be done, is it necessary to even pray? Just let things be the way that they are. And then I'm going to throw my 2 cents in. You all mind. Did you want to comment on that, Stephanie, or we can move on?
I'm a believer in prayer. Right. So, you know, I guess the young man, I don't know where his faith was or where it lies. So maybe he felt like maybe there was no point to prayer. But I believe in prayer, and I believe even though things happen with our friends, our loved ones, I'm still going to pray, and I'm still going to trust that God is in control of everything. So I just want to know where his faith was.
Right. And I just want to throw my 2 cents in, and I want to say what some of you all have reiterated that tonight. I think I heard it from Mike and Donna and even Diana and several others of you all, and Wayne as well. And I do want to say that I believe that we should never give up on prayer. Because God is, and you all said it tonight, God is in control. And I think that what we have to learn to do is God knows what's best. We don't. Because if a person is having a certain quality of life and that quality of life is not, is a life of maybe suffering, misery, or so forth, so on, God, and this is God's opportunity to save that person for eternal life, then I think that that is the moment that God operates. You know, knowing down the road, you know, this is the moment. I know it's going to hurt people, the loved ones, that look high, and I know they've been praying, but never give up because his will, I believe now, this is just me, is a perfect will. We don't always understand it, but by and by, we'll one day look and understand it clearly. That, wow, this was in the best interest of those who love Lord. We got to move on now, you all. We have got to move on. We're getting some noise in the background. Sounds like maybe a laundry mat. So we may have to mute one or two people. Okay. All right, let me go ahead and let's take this the next scenario. You know what? We're only 15 minutes before we start to close the show tonight. Let me begin this one with Tim. This scenario, Marjorie is 29 years of age and has yet to be married. She has done everything the right way according to her mother. She has maintained her virginity up to this day. Up to this day, she's maintained her virginity. And now it's to the point that she's also an attractive Christian woman. She has hoped to meet a fellow Christian in the church, but has not had success for the past 12 years. She is not the partying type girl, but more a homebody. She cries often and now wonders, what's the point of maintaining myself? And my clock is running out in terms of having children. Do you think not being intimate has affected her way of thinking, Kim? What do you think? Because she's not getting any, is this affecting her brain?
That's funny, but no, I don't think so. I actually think by her not getting an, and being a virgin, it's affecting her the right way. She's not. She doesn't know what she's missing. She hasn't had it yet, and when she does get it for the first time, she's gonna go crazy and want it all the time.
Okay, so she's doing everything right. She can't get. She doesn't seem to be able to land a fellow Christian. I mean, why? Why?
I can't tell you. There ain't too many Christians that are virgins.
Okay. Let me go to Mike Lowry. Mike, what are your thoughts? If you want to speak to the whole press one. Mike, what are your thoughts?
What was the question again?
Okay. Well, Mike, stand by for the next one. Let me go now to Diana. Diana, what do you think? She's been maintaining herself. Donna, we're going to come to you in a second and Sean. She's been maintaining herself. What do you think?
Well, I think because she has been maintaining herself that she will have better spiritual discernment and clarity when she to be able to meet the right person, because so many times when people are engaging sexually outside of marriage, it can cloud their judgment as to how to choose the right individual, because once that takes place, then the relationship is built all around the sex, and they don't take the time to develop the other parts of the relationship. So I think the fact that she has abstained is a very good plus for her, as the gentleman said, not a negative.
Right. Okay. All right. Let's bring in Patricia. Donna, let's bring you in first. Donna, what are your thoughts?
Well, in short, none of us have a crystal ball. We don't know what the future holds. Maybe the best is yet to come for her. But there again, you've got nuns and priests who have given their life to celibacy for the Lord. So however it works itself out, that's just how it's going to be.
You know, I like that, because that was going to be part of my two cents, that the best, I believe, for this young lady, the best is yet to come. Let's see here. Anybody else want to chime in on that one? Because we got it. We're going to try to take two more before we move.
God will bless her faithfulness as well.
God will bless her faithfulness as well. Thank you, Diana, for that. let me move on to the next one. We're going to start this one out with who would like to be surprised and go with the next one?
It doesn't matter.
All right, Diana, we're going
to
go with you. This
I'll
next
you,
one.
Donna.
Okay, all right. Was that Donna or Diana?
Diana.
Okay, Diana, we're going to go with you this scenario. Tom is a family man with a wife and three children. He was recently laid off due to budget cuts 8 months ago on his job. Now his unemployment benefits are about to run out. He has searched everywhere for a job and has been constantly turned down. He holds a bachelor's degree in economics and is constantly told he is overqualified, even for a job as a stock clerk at many local retail stores. In spite of his wife trying to encourage him, bills are piling up. Even though she works, it's not enough income to support their family. He wonders, what's the point of having a college education, all that debt, and you simply can't find a decent job? Help us make some sense out of that. Let's start with we'll start with Diana. Diana, help us make sense out of it.
Well, that's quite a scenario that I think a lot of us Americans are facing today in the downturn of the economy. But here again, this is where our prayers and faith that God is going to make a way out of no way. And I've seen many or read many stories about when things like that happen in people's lives. That's when the creativity kicked in and they started a business, whether it was detailing cars or a landscaping business or whatever, and was able to not only make ends meet, or found out that, you know, they could have a home-based business that would excel their income over time. So sometimes inopportunities are the catalyst for us to have grander opportunities.
All right. Okay. Let's bring in, let's see here. Mike Lowry, you're still with us. Let's bring in Wayne. Wayne, what are you? Oh, okay. Let's bring in Tim. Tim, give us your thoughts on that.
Let me come in afterwards. I was still thinking about something. Let me come in later.
Okay. All right, that's fine. Donna, give me your thoughts. What do you think?
Well, this has happened to me. I have a college degree, and I moved from Las Vegas to Nevada to southern Alabama, and I was unable to find a job in my profession, and I ended up waiting tables. And I just feel like all of our life experiences, and eventually I went back into my profession, and I feel like all of our life experiences is what makes us a whole person, and we can draw off of each of those experiences to help us moving forward.
Okay. Hmm. Right.
So, I mean,
okay.
just because she couldn't find a job, I mean, it wasn't meant to be at that time. And so
right.
That's just life.
Okay. All right. Stephanie, did you want to comment on that before we go to the next scenario, which we'll start you out with?
I just want to say you just have to continue to thrive and whatever the scenario, whatever the person was going through, maybe you just couldn't do it at that time. Unlike the young lady just now, Donna, I think she said at the time maybe it wasn't the right time. I think there's a season for everything, and he just can't give up. That's all.
Okay. All right. Then we're getting ready to go. We've got to move. We're 8 minutes before we close the show out. I've got to move on to the next comment. So we're going to bring this one in for you. Christopher had childhood dreams. Christopher had childhood dreams of becoming an attorney. Until one day he heard one of the elders in the church say, Christians should not be lawyers because they must lie. Christopher changed his plans based on that. Christopher changed his plans based on that statement. It has now been 40 years later, and Christopher has been in law school part-time for the past 4 years. Yet he is failing in a number of his classes, which prolongs his stay and expenses in law school. All of this is a result of he didn't pursue his dream from 40 years ago. He is so depressed, he wondered, what's the point of all this debt and trying to still fulfill my childhood dreams? Because he has learned for himself the statement his elder made at the time is not true. Is it Christopher's own fault for listening to that elder?
I think so. I think it's his own fault also, because life experiences teaches us lessons. But I also think that elder should be held at some fault too, because they need to know that they are leaders and role models in the church. And they should be very careful about the things that they say in front of these young people. That is not true. All lawyers do not lie. So I think part of the responsibility, most of the responsibility, was the young man, but the elder should take some responsibility also.
Okay, very good. Let me ask Tim. Tim, what are your thoughts on that? All right, Diana, let's bring you in. What are your thoughts on that, Diana?
Well, I agree with the comment that was just made, that the majority of the onus is on the young man, because if he did his due diligence about being a lawyer in the various fields lawyers can work in, that they won't compromise their values or morals, then he would just take that with a grain of salt. But, yes, the elder does. I mean, it's terrible for him to have said something like that
right.
to the individual.
Right.
But the elder's not talking also to a 5-year-old. He's talking
right.
to a pretty mature adult who's able to be able to weigh out the situation and consider the source and make your decision.
Right.
All right. Okay, let's bring in Patricia. Patricia, what do you think on that?
It's ironic that you're saying this, because I have a very good friend of mine who's in the same position right now. But you know what? Even though the elder said all of those things, he did not allow the elder's dream to become a reality. And even now he's pursuing his dream.
becoming an attorney. So I think that, you know, sometimes we can't let people, we can't allow people to speak their own feelings into us. We just have to move on. They may be saying what they want to say at that time, but when they see you become what you really want to be, then, they, you know, there's nothing that can hold you back. So I think, you know, young people should just move on and fulfill their dreams, regardless of what other people may think about attorneys, because every career has its purpose, and attorneys have their purpose. They may think that attorney lies, but, you know, until they become, they get into a position and need an attorney, then they're going to realize, you know what, I think he's serving his purpose.
I certainly agree with that. I certainly agree with that. Donna, let's bring you in for the last word on that particular one. What do you think? Is it that young man's fault for listening to that elder at that time? Many seem to think so, and I tend to agree. He should have done his own due diligence.
Right. You know what? I don't really have any strong opinions on this one way or the other. I mean, just being honest.
Okay. No, that's fine. That is fine. We're going to we're going to do one more comment because we're clearly out of time. And you know what? We may do a part two to this, so we're going to ask you all to stand by for the future announcements on a part two of this. But for now, let's go to Lydia. Lydia is one of six children. And we're going to begin this one with Diana. Lydia is one of six children. She is the middle child from a relatively close family. She talks routinely with several of her siblings who also feel bullied by Charles, one of the older siblings. All the siblings are well over 40 years of age, and some in their early 50s. Charles is one sibling who does not have himself together, but feels he is the smartest and must tell everyone else what to do and how to do it in their own respective lives. Lydia is not interested in any advice from him because she does not like the way he speaks to her and her other siblings. She is the only one who tells him about it. He still insists on trying to bully her. She loves her brother, but now feels, what's the point in trying to tell him anything when he won't listen? He doesn't seem to care about her feelings. But, Diana, I think we're going to start with you on this one. What do you think? What should Lydia do in a case like that? Bullied by her own brother because he's feeling older.
Well, the scenario is that they're grown now, right? They're no longer
over 40 and some in their 50s.
Pray for him and leave him up to his own devices and go on about her life, because she's not in a committed relationship with him as if though that would be her husband or someone she has to deal with. She does not have to deal with him anymore, and so she shouldn't. If he cannot respect her as an adult or an individual, then you pray for him and you just move on. But, you know, you don't subject yourself to someone that is going to cause you negative feelings and emotions and won't respect
you. I tend to agree with you 100% on that. God chooses your family, you choose your friends, and they're old enough. Let's bring Stephanie. Stephanie, did you want to comment, or Tim? And then we're going to ask Donna and Patricia their thoughts.
Oh, I agree totally. I mean, if they're adults now, I mean, you know, then she really doesn't even have to deal with him at all, as even though they're siblings, if they're adults. So his opinion doesn't matter anymore to her. Shouldn't matter.
I agree with that. Tim, did you want to come in? We're going to go to Patricia and then to Diamond.
No. I agree a whole lot with what everybody said. If they're adults, then no, they don't have to.
Okay. Donna, what do you think? And then Patricia, the last word.
Just the world is a big place, and this guy is hard-headed, and the lady doesn't really have to interact with her brother, maybe Christmas and Thanksgiving for a few minutes, and as long as she doesn't allow his behavior to affect her life, that's what's the most, yeah.
Okay, I think that's brilliant. Patricia, we'll give you the final word on that, and I'm down to 20 seconds to close the show out tonight. Okay, looks like we may have lost Patricia. So, listen, I want to take this opportunity, and I agree with you all. If you're of adult age, I think that sometimes we have to be careful, even of parents still trying to maintain certain control over their children. I think that it becomes important that they allow them to live their lives. And as many of you all have said tonight on tonight's broadcast, it becomes important. They're going to make mistakes, as we, even as older adults, continue to do. But nevertheless, that's the way that we begin to learn. Now, when it comes to bullying, most of you all have said tonight, that you don't have to deal with them that often. It's rare that you might have to deal with them because you're of age to take care of yourself. I trust you all have enjoyed the show tonight as much as I did, and please join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. If, of course, you choose to bypass this Friday, join us back here live next Tuesday at 7 p.m. for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I want to thank all of my special guests this evening, Donna, Sean, Diana, Stephanie, Patricia, Tim, Mike Lowry, Wayne, and Patricia as well for joining us on tonight's broadcast. And we certainly look forward to you all coming in. Stay tuned for further announcements for Part 2. Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.